The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Do you know that I made us a meal that cost us two meals, 2 days, Otto, under $10? I want to break it down. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. My name is Dana Cortez.
You are the epitome of washed. DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
I am washed and I'm proud. Okay, I bought a chicken, and with that chicken, we ate for 2 days. And I realized when I broke everything down that I purchased, it was all under $10 for 2 days. Oh. I'm just trying my best, Otto. And Anthony, you have to listen to my husband here, Otto, because he will tell you, I've done so good when it comes to like the credit card and spending money. So I bought this chicken, right? $4.97 for the chicken. And I bought these avocados. They were 50 cents. And then I bought an onion and a bell pepper and jalapenos, blah, blah, a little rice. 2 days later, we had great eating for under 10 bucks. And Otto, be honest.
Look at you, Dana. Look at you.
Was the food good?
It was amazing. Dana's a great cook. We need to get you a cooking show. Start how to make something for under $10.
Was it? So basically you guys had like chicken fajita mix.
So we had like first day days, it was right? Chicken with broccoli and rice because we had a great workout. I was like, I'm going to do a little chicken with broccoli, rice, put some onion, bell peppers, and you know, lemon. And I made like my own version of Chipotle's rice. But it did, you know what I mean? Like cilantro in there, a little lime, squozin. I know squozin isn't a word. I just say
I like Dana's better, to be honest, though.
Okay. You like mine better because it's cheap. And then the next day, I made chicken tacos. I did chicken with comino and onion and serrano. And then I did, you know, I don't remember what else I did. Oh, avocado. It was so good. And salsa. Dude. It was delicious. Yeah.
I think every man should look for a woman and what she can do to a rotisserie chicken. I think.
Is that what you're looking for in a lady, Anthony?
It's a skill, Ant. And I mean, as you move along in the dating world, I think that you should probably start checking that one off the list. What can she make with a rotisserie chicken?
Now,
I do have a, hold on, before you get to your thought, I do have a burning question for DJ Automatic. DJ Automatic, was Dana's stretch of rotisserie chicken better than your Raising Cane's stretch where you try to eat Raising Cane's? For like 3 days or something.
Well, it's a toss-up, but I will say I'm going to have to give it to Dana, okay? Just because Cane's has that sauce. I'm sorry, Dana. You don't make that sauce.
But the first day, it was only one day. I was driving home. Otto was out of town working. And he says, I can't do this Cane's chicken anymore. I had to give him like two different recipes. I'm like, sir, you spent $50. You're going to eat that Cane's chicken, okay? $50 versus 10 for 2 days. I win. Okay.
Speaking
of a show, I don't want to do a cooking show. We need to do what can you do with a rotisserie chicken to date Anthony A.
Dana, do you?
We should have a competition.
We should.
Dana, do you have those little shredders too that you could just shred up the rotisserie
chicken? Absolutely not.
With?
I do it with my fingers. If you're not shredding your chicken with your own hands, what are you really doing here?
Your ancestors would be proud.
Oh, exactly.
You know the lecture I get if I try to throw the chicken away? She's like, do you know how much good chicken is still
don't
in there?
Well,
look at all that chicken. You better pull that off.
He uses a fork. I'm like, not in my casa house, sir. You better give me that chicken. There's neck bone meat. There's all kinds of stuff on there. All right. What do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
Step away from the vacuum. It is no housework day, y'all.
Yes! Oh. Let's do this! I don't know if I can do this.
I was going to say, Dana's not, she's not even capable of this.
I was trying to relax the other day, and I just keep getting up and finding things to do. No! I'll try.
It's, you know, those little pink gloves that Dana wears to wash the dishes? They magically find their way onto her hand, even when she doesn't want them.
I know!
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Savannah Gutierrez just sent me a text, and she said, my daughter has a TikTok, and she is 10. Is that too young? Yeah, even according to the TikTok guidelines. And I'm right there with you, Savannah. I'm right there with you. So our daughter, Ava Matic, had a Musical.ly account, which is now TikTok, when she was in sixth grade. Otto, do you remember when she started her Musical.ly? Yeah. We had Musical.ly first, actually. We showed it to her.
Yeah, it was a lot different then. It was more of like a karaoke app.
It was.
And then the dance thing came along later once it was TikTok.
So I remember my first Musical.ly, which, like I said, is now TikTok, was Fetty Wap. That's what we were in New York. And I remember that summer very well. There is an author by the name of Jonathan Haidt, and we're going to hear what he has to say. He's done vast amounts of research. He's the author of a book called The Anxious Generation. We're going to hear from him in just a little bit about what the appropriate age is to allow your children to be on social media. But first, I want to talk about YouTube and Meta. They've been ordered to pay $3 million each. They were found liable for addictive social media design.
Mm.
Do you remember the whistleblower that used to work there?
Yeah.
And she appeared before Congress that Meta knew, all these social platforms knew, and they did not tell or disclose in the front page when you sign up, whatever, that it's so addictive and is harmful to children. They knew the mental anguish that it causes our kids, and they did not say anything. So they have to pay $3 million. Now, the state of New Mexico just won an incredible lawsuit against Meta for $375 million.
I do feel like there's going to be an age limit that's coming very soon.
Well, it's a lot of states are adopting it into the schools. Before the bell rings, you turn your phone in, and then when school's over, you can have it back. That's not obviously taking it away completely, but it's at least eliminating it from the classroom.
Yeah, I never thought we would be able to do that, like implement it like the way they are now. But going forward, it's just proven to be too detrimental. I personally have kind of, ever since I was in high school, have had Facebook. And I even feel, looking back on it, it was way too early then for me to be on Facebook for how I know it now. And I can personally speak on it. Like, yeah, after, you know, 2 decades of doing it, I feel as if I wish I would have not been introduced to it till later.
Especially when you're young, right? Because think about dating somebody. You're in a relationship, you're not. The things that people say about you online.
Oh, my God.
Rumors that could be spread. Now, there's AI, revenge porn. Like, there's so many crazy things happening online.
Man, I remember when my high school girlfriend broke up with me, and then I watched her relationship status go from in a relationship to single.
No, Anthony,
and then I saw,
see?
Like, all of my...
Heartbreaking.
And I saw all my supposable guy friends just liking the post, and then, and it wrecked me, dude. Pretty, like, looking back on it, I laugh now, but
at the time, it wasn't
like
funny.
No.
You've never been in love before. You're just introduced to this feeling, and then all of a sudden, this stuff happens in front of your face, which has never
and
been
the world
dealt with
is laughing
before
at
then.
You. Yes.
Or you think awful. That anyway, but it's really not. But it's your little world, and it matters. Yes. So, Jonathan Haidt has done research for decades at this point, because we've had phones now for so long, right? Like you said, Anthony, you grew up with a phone. You know, Otto, you had a phone when you were really young, too. I was just poor, so I didn't have a phone. So he wrote a book called The Anxious Generation. Here is his explanation as to what happened, why kids were one way when we were little, and they're experiencing anxiety now.
The loss of the play-based childhood. You were out with your friends after school. There was nobody supervising you. You had to learn how to work out conflicts, how to face adversity. So that's what kids have had for hundreds of thousands of years. We began to crack down on that, to lock kids up in the 90s. So we're restricting what they most need, which is play. But mental health doesn't collapse then. It's actually pretty stable. Then we get Act Two, which is the arrival of the phone-based childhood. In 2010, everybody had a flip phone. No front-facing camera, no social media on the phone, no high-speed data. And by 2015, everyone's got all those other things. Now suddenly everyone has a smartphone, front-facing camera, high-speed internet, social media, especially Instagram on the phone. And almost like someone turned a switch in 2013, girls in America and many other countries suddenly become very anxious, depressed, and self-harming.
When you think about the change from us playing outdoors to people being so scared because of social media, which is a complete lie that there are people out just going to take your kids and everything's worse. Crime is so much lower today than it was
right?
When we grew up. Yes. We need to play to figure things out. We just found out the other day, we were taking a walk with our daughter, Ava Maddock, and she said, oh, we used to break into that Mormon church. I said, what are you talking about?
Nice.
But you know what? Our daughter used to go outside and play. I said, for what? She's like, just to chill. We'd go in there and sit on the couch. And I was so I was so mad at her, but they figured it out. You know, I thought, what is wrong with you? And then I thought about all the things I used to do when I was little.
Of all the stories you had to tell, you didn't have to tell that one.
Yeah, well, that was the most shocking, Otto. That was the most shocking to me.
I literally blocked that out of my head.
I was like, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? But then I remember going and playing with my friends. I remember doing things that were not okay and figuring out how to work out of it and work through it or say I'm sorry or have to
work. Or how to use your imagination. How about that part?
All those things. Yes, exactly. And so I was a little proud of her that she had that moment and that she never got caught.
Yeah.
And they figured it out, you know? And they didn't hurt the church, by the way. They didn't do anything. The door was open or something. I don't know. Anyway, they didn't
do anything. That was not the best example.
Well, whatever.
No.
Okay, so I'm challenging everybody, let your kids do something on their own. Let them go outside and play. Take them to drink some water from the water hose, okay? And then call me up.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
We all held our breaths last week as Artemis II entered or exited the Earth's atmosphere, and then everybody cheered. Woo-hoo! Because Artemis II is, you know, that successful launch was so beautiful to watch. Of course, the astronauts now are floating above Earth. We've seen our first photos of Earth from above from this spacecraft. It looks so crowded up there. I was watching them on camera. I was like, gosh, it's like a little bullet shape. And all of them are just so close together. I'm a snorer. Oh, they would hate me in space. They would hate me up there. Like, oh my gosh.
Dana, you don't even go on roller coasters.
Like you would ever go on a space shuttle.
Oh,
get
I would
here.
Never, ever go on a spaceship. It would never happen.
When we went to Disneyland, did you ever ride one ride with us?
Yeah, I did. No. Yes, I did. I rode
the teacups.
No, I did not ride the teacups. We rode that one. It's like a 3D. And then I rode a small baby roller coaster. Remember that one? And then the water ride. Yeah. That was it.
You're not going on the arthritis too.
Arthritis. It's the Artemis too.
Artemis. Artemis too.
Nah,
Artemis 2.
I'm not going to do that. There has not been enough space exploration. This is only the fourth time we've ever been near the moon.
They're on the dark side of the moon right now.
Yeah.
They should be sending back some pictures very, very soon here.
Yeah, we're supposed to be getting them sometime this week. Now, Victor Glover delivered this beautiful message from space.
And as we are so far from Earth and looking back at, you know, the beauty of creation, for me, one of the really important personal perspectives that I have up here is I can really see Earth as one thing. And, you know, when I read the Bible and I look at all of the amazing things that were done for us who were created, it's you have this amazing place that was created to give us a place to live in the universe and the cosmos. Maybe the distance we are from you makes you think what we're doing is special, but I'm trying to tell you, just trust me, you are special. In all of this emptiness, this is a whole bunch of nothing, this thing we call the universe. You have this oasis, this beautiful place that we get to exist together.
We come from the same place. We've drawn these lines ourselves. With everything going on, I felt like it was a great message.
What he said, it was so profound and like very thoughtful that mm-hmm. that's what I thought Katy Perry was going to say. And nah. She did not deliver it, but.
Also, Katy Perry, when she came back to Earth and she just, remember her and Gail just kissed the ground? I'm like, girl, y'all didn't even go past the atmosphere.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Dak Prescott is seeking joint legal custody of his children that he shares with Sarah Jane Ramos. Oh my gosh. I can't believe that has come to this. I was really hoping that these two would get back together. But the rumor is that Dak was seeing somebody else.
Oh.
That's the rumor. Oh. I don't know if it's true. Why can't you just keep it in your pants, Dak?
You're a professional athlete? Keeping in his pants? I don't know about that one.
I think that's part of his contract. I think Jerry Jones wrote that into the contract.
No, he did not.
Multiple women. That's what it was.
No.
Are you really disappointed, Dana?
Yeah,
in your
I really
star
am.
Quarterback
because
not
I just,
being able to be faithful?
Yes, because I really thought they had something special because every time you'd see them together, they looked so happy, right? Every time they spoke about one another, they seemed so happy. I mean, Dak talked about his children, his daughters, like he just loved them so much.
She's definitely changed my world and I'm blessed. Not that I didn't really ever take any moment for granted, but just thankful for the times that I get to be with her, be with the family. I understand the responsibility as a father that I have and I don't take it lightly.
Now they share two children now, MJ, who is 2, and 11-month-old Aurora as well. I love that name. Aurora, that's the one from Sleeping Beauty. Right? Princess Aurora. I know. Yes, I am a little surprised, Anthony, because there are some athletes that are faithful. Steph Curry. If Steph Curry can do it, Dak Prescott can do it. From what I've seen, LeBron James, very faithful guy. Tony Romo, very faithful guy. It's not impossible. It just takes a lot of discipline because in the end, what is it worth? Isn't your family worth more than, I don't know, hanging out?
You name all those guys, and then we have Stephon Diggs. And there's that's the other
different.
Side of
it. Otto, that he's not married to anybody. These two were engaged. He wasn't engaged to anybody. And as far as I know, Stefon Diggs, his, you know, everybody knows that that's the kind of guy he is, right? Cardi B should have known that that's the kind of man, because he doesn't hide it. His reputation precedes him, you know? Yes. Dak Prescott seemed like this wholesome guy. All he did was speak highly about Sarah, mm-hmm. speak highly about his children. So this is a bit shocking to me.
I am a little shocked that he is leaving her now, given the state of his hairline. That's probably
he's still the quarterback for the Cowboys. Come on, yeah. No matter what, his hairline that exceeds his hairline. Okay,
couldn't he buy one though?
He could.
Can't easily. You buy he a hairline fly. Now? I know. Speaking of LeBron James, didn't he
it
buy?
Didn't
a
work
hairline?
For him. Well, no, he's completely bald now, so it didn't
no,
work out for
did
him.
Did he just
yeah,
give it
all
up?
Fell out. Yeah, I think he had to. I just think that
if Dak was cheating with a bad hairline, imagine what happens when he gets it fixed.
Maybe a Super Bowl ring? Doubt it. All right, anyway, the court papers have been filed. Us Weekly found them. It looks like the couple is happily splitting, and they're going to seek joint custody.
Does that mean he sees the kids like half and half? How does that work?
Yeah, so joint custody means he'll keep them, she'll keep them, they'll just... It seems very amicable, and they're happily separated.
Basically, he gets them on Wednesdays and every other weekend. Probably.
No, joint custody. He wants more. He wants joint custody. He doesn't want visitation. That's different, Otto.
Okay.
He wants to be able to see his kids whenever. Yeah, and she's okay with it, too. She's like, that's fine. Like I said, they're happily separated. I wonder if she's going to get any money.
Definitely for child support, she's probably going to get a lot, right? I mean, that's where she's really going to hit him. Isn't that usually how it happens?
Yeah, but they weren't married.
It doesn't matter. He still has to pay her child support.
Yeah, but if they're doing joint, then why would he have to pay her if they're doing joint?
Because no matter what, she has to take care of the kids. Like, you think he's going to be able to keep the kids half the time when he's in football?
Yeah, well, he's got to work. And
works for the Cowboys. That's a struggle. Let's be real.
So? Shouldn't she have to work and pay for the kids too, though?
Yeah, but
she's only going to have the kids half the time.
But the law says the person that makes the most money, I believe, in joint custody, you have to pay child support. Man or woman. That's the law. So in this instance, I doubt her wine career has her making more money than he
than the
does.
$40 million a year he makes as the quarterback.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on these two. Hopefully, I still have hope they'll get back together.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
One of the Kardashians is selling food, and I'm kind of interested this time. Otto will give us the deets and food news. It's the Dana Cortez Show inside the Kohl's studio. I am Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by A3A, a.k.a. Lil Latinx.
Well, last night's game was so exciting. Congratulations, Michigan! Woo!
Yeah!
Yes! Champions! They were supposed to win, though, right? Weren't they the team that was supposed to beat UConn?
Well, UConn had won, you know, two of the last three, so I don't know that they were supposed to win, but they won. Congratulations,
yeah,
go Blue,
congratulations
right?
to them, exactly. All right, so what do we have for food news, DJ Automatic?
So I did not know this, but Khloe Kardashian has a food line, and she sells protein popcorn. Well,
okay.
she's adding to that food line, and she is now going to have protein chips.
Yee.
And they're going to be available at Target.
Okay, here's the deal. I believe that Khloe Kardashian is going to sell some protein something because she looks great and she has worked for it. Okay. She had this whole conversation about a long time ago, years ago, she did an interview with Howard Stern. Howard Stern used to run regular radio. Now he's on, satellite radio. But anyway, he said, why do I have to interview the ugly sister, the fat sister?
Oh, ooh,
I know. And she said, that stuck with me forever. So now she's so fit. She's so in shape. So I believe that this is real protein, all that. I don't believe the chip will taste good because I have never had a good protein chip ever. Everybody's like, they're so good on Instagram. Lies. It tastes disgusting.
It somehow tastes like dust. I don't know how to explain it, but
it's
it just
gross.
Tastes like dust.
Yes,
and
Anthony?
Also, you know, Khloe Kardashian, she's also on Netflix, too, with that Lamar Odom documentary.
Oh, I haven't
saw
seen
that.
It.
I haven't seen the actual documentary, but I saw the previews.
Yeah, dude. And Lamar Odom's actually coming out with his own melatonin, too.
Really?
Yeah, it's guaranteed to knock you out. Like, you know.
I'm not taking any kind of anything that Lamar Odom is selling us.
I'm just kidding, fools. Lamar Odom's not coming out with no melatonin.
I swear, when you said that, I thought, it ain't even April Fool's. And any fool that believes that, come on now. Otto was ready to buy it. He's like, why are they selling it? I can't. Well,
you know it's going to be strong. You know it's going to work.
All right, what do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
All right, it is National Beer Day.
Oh, favorite kind of beer.
Play. Don't fake it.
I like beer.
Last time you had a beer. Last time.
It's been 4 or 5 months, but I still like beer. I like the taste of beer. I just don't drink it too often because of my family genetics. That's why.
Okay, I would rather eat a dirt protein chip than drink a beer.
What? Oh, like man, beer. Dude. I personally like a cold Dos Equis out the can with a lime.
Otto's fancy. He'll order that. a dark beer or something. Well, God, give me a dark beer on draft.
For my history nerds, today in 1933 is the day we ended Prohibition.
So that's why
we have National Beer Day today, too.
All right.
And we also have National No Housework Day.
Mm. I can get behind that for sure.
You always do. So what else do we have?
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.